You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1639. This time, Horses in the Morning co-hosts Glenn and Lisa welcome Krista Lafayette from Edelon Diagnostics to chat about the DNA behind the amazing variety of colors and markings that our horses display. Today's podcast is brought to you by Sentinel Horse Nutrition. Sentinel Horse Nutrition knows you share a secret language with your horse. With just one look, you know exactly what your horse is feeling. Just like you understand every little nuance about each other, Sentinel's expert nutritionists understand how the nuances of feed form can help your horse live a healthier life. Sentinel's 100% extruded formulas encourage your horse to eat at a healthier pace. These light, airy nuggets help lower the risk of digestive upsets, too, that may lead to serious health concerns, like feed-related choke. Discover the extraordinary nutritional benefits of extruded feed. Visit feedsentinel.com/podcast to learn more or find a retailer near you. That's feedsentinel.com/podcast.
So we are welcoming Krista Lafayette, the CEO of Edelon Diagnostics, and we're going to talk about birdcatcher spots and genetics and all kinds of coat color markings. Krista, welcome.
Thank you so much. I love this show, and I'm so excited every time we talk. It's so much fun.
Well, the last time you were on, I was not on, but I listened, and we were talking about coat colors and all that kind of fun stuff. And today, I think we're going to focus on just the markings and all those weird little spots and color things that we see.
That sounds great. As long as you guys can put up with my whatever creeping crowd voice, over it. Let's talk about
Glenn.
It.
Yeah,
you and Glenn.
We're in this together, Krista. We're fine.
So
excellent.
I'm just fascinated by the genetics of coat color and markings and all of that. And so tell us just in general, you know, are leg and face markings, are they genetically predictable like coat colors? Like you breed two chestnuts together and you're going to get a chestnut. Are the leg markings kind of like that too?
So the absolute black and white solid answer is kind of.
Okay.
That's why we love Krista. She's so decisive,
yes.
You know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Tell us about that. Tell us about kind of.
So white markings, white markings come from a huge number of variants and mutations in a couple of regions. We know that there's a handful of regions. We suspect that there are more. There are two major regions that we tend to look in. There's one called the KIT region, K-I-T, and there's one called the MITF. Some people call it MITF. And those are two regions that we'll use as examples. Each of these regions is a part of your genetic code that is the map to building you, right?
Right, right.
So as your body is constructing itself, wow, that's really deep. as you're being built, your cells and your neurology and your musculature and everything starts to construct itself based on this map that is you, that's your genetic code. And if it comes to a region, let's say in the MITF region, if MITF codes for where your melanocytes, your color producing cells migrate, and if part of that code is altered or missing, those cells will stop there. They'll go, wait, where do we go? And depending on where they stop and where that code is broken will result in white markings.
Oh.
Now there's, you follow?
So that, I do.
It's not as precise as one would think. And depending on where the variant is, the mutation, in what region, and in what region of the region will determine the amount of white that you do or do not have. But is it absolutely consistent? No.
So this is why if you clone a horse, they can have different markings.
That's exactly right. There are all kinds of changes that we still don't understand that happen during development that cause changes in what we think is a predictable thing.
Wow, that's amazing. So I know in the auditor room, there were so many questions and comments about some of the different spots, like birdcatcher spots. Can you tell us what those are and how those kind of come about?
So birdcatcher spots are one of the great mysteries of life. They're so fun because birdcatcher spots, they're these little white markings about the size of a little smaller than a penny, maybe the size of a dime. They're called birdcatcher spots because they originated, I believe, from an Irish thoroughbred back in the early 1800s, and his name was Birdcatcher. Some people say they're called birdcatcher spots because it looks like you're horse is standing under a tree full of birds. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But the cool thing about those, they move. Birdcatcher spots move. So that's a little bit even crazier still. Yes, they do. They appear and they reappear, and they don't necessarily do it in the same place.
So, and there's no rhyme or reason that we know of right now to cause that or why.
We don't know. At Edelon, we have a couple of places that we are pretty suspicious that look promising in the genome that we have found, but we need more samples of animals with birdcatcher spots and documentation. Let's see the pictures. Let's see the pictures. Let's see the DNA to be able to figure it out. And then once we have identified the variant, why do they move? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't, it's amazing, but I've seen them. I had a horse who had one of those, and it was like, wow, that's just strange.
Just was weird. It a thoroughbred?
Thoroughbred cross. Yeah. Thoroughbred cross. That's so interesting. So we're more likely, I guess, than to see that in a horse with thoroughbred lineage than not. So,
tough to say. I mean, that's what they were named for, right?
Yeah.
With a thoroughbred stallion. But there's no other documentation that I know of that shows that it was in other horses, but it may well be. So we have seen many, many different traits in horses that are alleged to only be in certain breeds.
Yeah.
But when we do these larger studies unbiased, test everybody for everything, lo and behold, we find it's all over the place. Fragile foal was one of those. We found that it was in lots of different breeds.
But then you go back and say, okay, 10 generations back, a horse may have had a thoroughbred ancestor that you don't even really know of.
That's absolutely true. Or they both could have had a common ancestor way, way back.
Yes, exactly.
I have the important question, though. Why aren't they called bird poop spots? Because they look like bird poop. Why bird catcher?
Because the horse's name was bird catcher.
Oh.
The thoroughbred was bird catcher, but they do look like bird poop.
Yeah,
spots.
They look like bird poop. And, bird poop moves, too. So
this is true.
It's appropriate.
Particularly when I turn the windshield wipers on
exactly.
on my truck.
Exactly.
It moves. So we have a therapeutic riding center, Krista, and we have a Belgian quarter horse cross named Tessie that Jen has actually ridden, Glenn's wife. She has the most beautiful, beautiful mane. It's flaxen and it's red and it's dark brown and it's henna. And I would spend like $800 in the hair salon to get a mane with her collar. So how does that happen? I mean, Belgian quarter horse cross. And so I have to think that maybe her mother was a bay because she's got some darker stuff in there. And the Belgian has the flaxen. But how does all that happen?
It's just a combination of colors, right? So think about a horse that is, let's see, like a buckskin, right?
Yeah, right.
Buckskin, when you look at it, it's a gold horse with black legs and a nose and mane and tail, right?
Yeah.
Or there-ish. But what it really is we know that if you're a buckskin, you have to have, to begin with, a black base.
Right.
So you have to have one or two copies of the black extension variant. And then on top of that, you have to have at least one copy of what we call dominant agouti, and that's what restricts the black pigment to the outer regions, the legs, the mane, the tail, the nose, the ear tips. And then to dilute that bay that you've created by adding the agouti on top of the black, you need to add a copy of cream. And lo and behold, you've diluted the bay into this beautiful golden color with the black spots remaining. So what you have is not a single color buckskin, but you have a copy of black with a copy of dominant agouti with a copy of cream. And that's what results in that look. And that's probably what you're seeing in your horse, the multicolored mane. There's probably a whole plethora of things going into that.
Oh, obviously. I mean, it's gorgeous. And it you look at it and you look at her out in the pasture and it looks sort of flaxen-y, but you get up there and it's like, holy cow, there's 10 different colors in here.
Well, maybe you should pull her sample, pull a mane or a tail sample and send it in. Let's take a look at it.
Yeah, that we should do that. Yeah, that would be great. That would be awesome. And, you know, the other thing, too, that I just find so fascinating is the seasonal color changes in coat colors. So, you know, we also have a horse who's a Belgian Shire Thoroughbred cross, and he is what I think is a silver dapple bay. He's not been genetically tested, but he's got that kind of liver colored body with the flaxen mane and tail that you see sometimes in Shetland ponies, except this horse weighs 1500 pounds. But in the, in the summer, he gets his body color goes from liver to kind of a sand color. And it's not a bleaching thing. It's like that's his summer coat.
Do you think it's maybe the undercoat? Maybe he shed out the bigger, longer, heavier coat and it's the
probably,
undercoat?
Probably.
A different color?
Yeah, probably. But what causes that? So there's these different colors in the coats.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of different factors that can happen. Obviously, there's the sun bleaching effect that you talked about, which in and of itself is kind of interesting. We know that there are black horses that bleach in the sun.
Yep.
And there are black horses that don't, period.
Yeah.
And they rarely cross. The only time you see a hardcore black horse bleaching, there's probably a health issue going on there, right?
Right.
So if you think about all of the different layers that go into, again, going back to our buckskin, and you think about now let's add in things like length of coat and type of coat, you know, color and texture, and then warmth, you know, longer hair versus shorter hair, coarser hair versus finer hair. Probably, and I don't know this, probably if you go to smooth your hand over that hairy winter coat, I bet the undercoat is a lighter what you're seeing. But
probably.
I could be wrong. These are things that, you know, we're trying to study and we want to look at. But in order to find these variants and explain all these different things, we need a plethora of samples and documentation with photos. That's why we work with the horse people, because you all notice these things. I know
right.
My horses better than anyone, as do you. And that's how we actually find these things. When we find colors, it almost always comes from an owner sending a horse going, this is weird. This is weird. What's going on here? It doesn't make sense. And then we'll look at it and go, you're right. It's weird. And then we go out and look for other horses that are that degree of weird and see if they all have the same type of mutations. And bang, there's your publication.
Yeah. And so, you know, the other thing that's I think interesting too is so I have a friend with a horse who's a registered thoroughbred, and he goes thoroughbred all the way back, you know, but he's also double registered as a pinto, and he has that, you know, some pinto markings. And so obviously something cropped out from generations past. How does that, I'm just fascinated by it. I don't even know the question
the
to ask.
Book. Yeah. No, it's okay. The stud book for thoroughbreds, depending on where he's from, is only a couple hundred years old, which is still old. And we know thoroughbreds come from way back. But if you're talking by pinto, if you mean Taviano, Taviano is a couple thousand years old.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it could come from way back. We're back to that idea of the thoroughbred and this other horse sharing a common ancestor way back when.
Okay. That's
so
really
it's possible that exists, right? It exists in thoroughbreds. It's just that people have bred it out. It's not their preference. And every now and then, somebody is a freak and says, nope, I'm not going to go with the fashion trend. I'm going to keep doing this. And you end up with a horse that's not the fashion.
Not the fashion, not the style. But I tell you, this horse is gorgeous. So, you know, there you go. There you go. He's perfect just as he is. So,
you're talking to somebody who regularly adopts, you know, unfashionable animals with white markings in all the wrong places.
Oh, I'm sure.
The wrong size. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for all this amazing information. I don't know. I need to take you to lunch someday. This is just so interesting to me. But how do if people have, you know, a horse with a weird color, how do they find you? How how can they get some more information?
So we have a website. It's etalondx.com, etalondx.com. And they can go onto the site and they can do a couple different things. They're welcome always to log in and choose a testing package to test their horses for. We don't have your one-off test as most traditional labs do. We have a huge package for like $119. And the reason we do it that way is so people get a picture of their horse, not like a piecemeal, not four blind men in a room with elephant, but see the elephant, turn on the light, right? And what we do then is once we've run all of these tests at once, And we've come back to the owner and say, hey, you've got a bay horse and it's average height and it's faster to 60. It's got two copies of Sprint. What do you think? And they'll go, well, I think you're missing something. And they show us like it's white. Oh, well, that's weird. And then we're back to that. Okay, let's go look at these regions and see what's going on in there. And that is how we find stuff. We work together with the horse people. Everybody who tests with us has the right and absolute should use the free consult that goes along with the service. And we talk to you about your test results and we review it with you and ask you lots and lots of questions. And it is just, it's just good fun.
Yeah.
Horse people are a unique breed, right? And they're ready. They really want to discover things. They're way ahead of the crowd. When you talk about genetics, horse people are ahead of the game. They're ahead of the dog people. And they're even ahead of most farmers and because they know. You can send them this crazy variant summary that shows this alphabet soup looking thing, and they can look at that and go, oh yeah, that's a blue-eyed bay.
Yeah, they know. They know.
Well, they know.
Well, Chris, I was just thinking, we have two very popular horses on this show, My Pony Scooter, who's the Hackney Pony,
yes,
and then we have Zeus the mm-hmm. Mustang. It would be fun for us to send those in and then get you on the air to talk about the
Wouldn't
results of both
great.
Of them. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yes. Bring it. We even have a Mission Mustang we've been working on with Elisa Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
And using the ancestry thing, we are able to slowly piece together the herds we have with a couple of her horses.
Well,
and we could see if Zeus has got any connections in there.
Well, let's do that next year, okay? Let's make sure we get that done. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. That would be a blast. You'll love it. I love this kind of stuff.
All right. Well, thanks, Krista. I appreciate it.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.